You honored the Savior this morning. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. Romans chapter number 8, as we open the Word of God and begin to worship together the great I Am, the one who died for me and for you. My goodness, who am I that the Savior should have come and as he did and died. But if I'd have been the only person on the face of the earth, I can guarantee you Jesus would still have come. If you had been the only one here, Jesus would still have come and died just for you. Romans chapter 8. I want you to look at one verse of scripture and then we'll pray and you can be seated. And then I'll go back and read more verses of that chapter because I want you to get the entire thing. But my text verse this morning is found in verse number 14. If you would, please. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Father, we're indeed overwhelmed by the message, the love, the outpouring compassion that you've had on our lives up to this point. As we look back, we're reminded of all the times that we needed you beside us and you never failed us. This morning, I pray that you might give us the power, the unction, the strength, the remembrance, the liberty to speak highly of your Son, Jesus. For he it is that makes life worth it all. He it is whose life in us guides us and helps us along the way. I pray and trust now that you'd enable the feebleness of this individual to be overruled and the person of the Holy Spirit might speak boldly and loudly to the person of Jesus. Forgive now my sin, give grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Here's my subject: our guide through life. Our guide through life. If I could tell you that you could personally have a guide that would lead you every single day of your life and help you make the right choices, help you to have the right emotions, help you to have the strength and abilities that you need, would you say, yes, I want that? Of course you would. What we lack so in America at the present time is strong, valuable, and truthful leadership. But there is one who promised to lead us, to guide us with all those values and all those attributes as long as we depended upon him. Look in Romans chapter 1, look at chapter 8, look at verse 1. Paul writes and he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law, as you look at the law, these individuals thought they're going to get to heaven because they worked a good work, because they kept a good deed. They honestly tried to do good. And I remind you every time I see you, there's none of you good, not even one. Right? And so Paul is talking about law versus grace, or law versus faith here. And he's talking about the fact that it's not the outward do goodness that gets us to heaven, but it's an inner salvation that we have because of Jesus Christ and our reliance, our trust upon him. And so he contrast the law of works and deeds versus faith and righteousness and trust in Almighty God. Notice that he says in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice the capitalized letter on Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit of God, and the fact that we have given ourselves over to be guided through life by His Spirit rather than guided through life by the emotions of our own flesh, which has no good within it. Now listen, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, it means to be fleshly minded. Even if you're a child of God, sometimes you revert to the flesh. You want to pleasure the flesh. You want to pamper the flesh. You want to have joy in the flesh. And that's not where it should emanate from. It should come from the Spirit, and our walk with Jesus Christ should bring about our joy and our peace. For to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, is enmity against God. It means the enemy or hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, they that behave in the flesh are not pleasing to God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you're not a child of God unless you have the Spirit of God. Notice. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, notice he calls them brethren. We talked about brothers and sisters a moment ago when we're in the house of God. And Paul writes and he says to these who are born again, brethren. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You want real life? That's what he's talking about here. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life, eternal life. I came to die on the cross that they might have eternal life. But not only eternal life, not only am I here to save them, but I'm also here to give them a real life, not a wannabe, you know? I see people all the time trying to act like their life is happy, and I know deep down inside it is not. I see people with the most expensive clothing. I see people with the most expensive kind of automobiles and the jewelry and all of the things of the world and the trappings of the world, but none of those things can bring about peace, and none of those things can bring about happiness. Notice that he says, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. Hey, we're just going to die. No happiness in life, no joy that is lasting. We may be born again, but we're going to go through this life real ruggedly. We're going to go through this life just being defeated every time we turn around, even though we're saved, because we're not looking in the right direction. We're not depending upon the right person, and we certainly don't have the right goals in life. But if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit, if you live through the Spirit, by the Spirit's power, mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read it to you and I'll be right back. In Colossians 3:5, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members. He's talking about your body. Your arms, your legs, your fingers, your toes, your hands. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. fornication, that there be no fornication in your life, uncleanness, that there be no inordinate affection, passions, uncontrolled passions, that there be no evil concupiscence, a longing desire. Well, I'm a child of God, but I don't get to have any fun like the rest of the world has. A longing desire to participate in fleshly and evil deeds that the world does. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, always desiring more. You know, that was one of the sins of the children of Israel in the wilderness when God was bringing them through. They were never satisfied with what God gave them. He gave them water. Well, then they wanted bread. And he gave them bread. And then they wanted meat. And he gave them meat. And then they overate. And they began to complain about everything that came along. And that's a problem with children of God who walk not in the spirit but in the flesh. The flesh is never satisfied. The flesh wants more and longs for more and seeks more. Mortify, therefore, bring under subjection the flesh. Mortify literally means to die or death. Therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of obedience. And he goes on. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, he says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify, you subdue, you restrain, you die to the flesh, but you live in the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You will find real life. Man, I just want to tell people on occasions, you know, when they complain and they're criticizing and they're asking some silly questions about various things, I just want to say, hey, look up here. How about you just get a life? Huh? How about stopping the worry about what everyone thinks? How about stop worrying about, you know, what you're going to do 3 weeks from now or what you're going to do a year from now? How about just living life today as God has given it to you and enjoy it? Real life. If you learn to mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Ye shall have the life Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10 when he said, I have come that they might have life more abundantly. Real life. But now look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are guided by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I like it. In verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God through life. Now let me ask you that question. You knew I was going to. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Are you being led by the Spirit? Will you say, well, I'm not sure. You better get it right. You know, not only does it take a guide, it also takes a follower. If you want to get to the right destination and you go and you hire a guide to show you the way through the jungle, and about the third day you said, hey, you know, this looks pretty simple. I've watched you. I think I can do this myself. And so I'm going to lead today. And you take off and you miss the mark. And you miss the landmark. And you miss the other mark. And you didn't turn the right way. And now you're going in the opposite direction because you got all turned around. And you ended up right back where you started 10 hours ago. And now you realize and you blame the guide and you say, you know what? You don't really love me, do you? Because I've been walking all day and I'm right back here where I started. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you show me the way? Well, you took the reins and you said, I think I can do this myself. And then when you get right back where you've got to start all over again, you want to blame God for it, right? You want to blame the guide. It's not the guide's fault, it's your fault. It takes a guide to get us to the right location, but it also takes a submission of those who are behind the guide in order to follow him and do his direction and do his bidding. Yeah. So we find the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God through life. Look in John. Hold your place in Romans. I should be back at some time or other. But look in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, Jesus talked about the other comforter that he was going to send. Actually, chapter 16 is part of that conversation. And Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter to you. That when I've gone away, he'll be here to guide you and help you and get you on your way. He was talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus says about that Holy Spirit of God in John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit when he, notice he is part of the triune Godhead. He, not an it, not a something, but a someone. And when he, the Spirit of truth has come. I'm glad the Lord put it that way, because if there happens to be a positive post on the battery of your automobile, there also is a negative post on the battery of your automobile. So if there's a spirit of truth, there must also be a spirit of lies and deceits. Yeah. A positive aspect and a negative. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, when he is come, he's not been sent yet, but when he is come, now we're on that side. Yes, he's here now. He will, look at the word, guide you. Means to lead on one's way, to be a teacher, to be an instructor, to take you through truth, to give you nothing but the truth, the whole truth. And he is God. The problem with most Christians is they can't accept the whole truth. The problem with Christians is they want to be shoppers rather than followers. They want to pick and choose what they want to do and what they want from God rather than just submitting, giving up, and following wherever he leads. Do you think that God's going to lead his children into a detrimental area? Nobody might lead me to China as a missionary. Oh, for crying out loud. Some of you wouldn't last 30 days in China as a missionary or anywhere else as far as that goes. Even people who say they've been called, most of them don't make a full term on a mission field somewhere. It's difficult. It's very difficult. And God only chooses the toughest. And sometimes we get coerced into giving up and turning back and quitting. But he is our guide. He will guide you into all truth. You need to underline that and remember that. We'll be back. Because you have a personal guide as a child of God through all of your life. And the Bible says, and he will guide you into all truth. All truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus says the job of the Holy Spirit is not only to guide the children of God, but the guide of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus Christ, not to take priority himself, but to point us to Jesus Christ and the cross. The same word guide here in John 16, 13 is also used in the book of Acts chapter 8 in verse 31. Acts chapter 8. And I want you to look. Verse 26 says, there was an angel that came unto Philip, and he said, I want you to go south. I want you to go down from Jerusalem into Gaza, down in the desert. And Philip arose in verse 27, and he went down. And one of the first things that he saw, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace. I'm in verse 27, Acts 8. Under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then, listen, the Spirit said unto Philip, does the Spirit ever speak to me and you? Oh, yes, he does. Audibly? Not necessarily. No, but he speaks. He guides. He directs. He ushers. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Look, verse 31. And the eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. How can I except some man should guide me? Well, what a wonderful thing for the child of God who has a personal guide throughout all of life. Every choice, every tribulation, every storm of life, every difficult matter, every mountaintop experience, every valley of decision, the Holy Spirit is there, guiding, directing, leading. And I think it's an amazing thing that we have this personal guide to leave us or to lead us. But you realize that he only leads from the front. If you're a leader, you can't lead from the back. You can only lead from the front. That means that our job is to follow and submit, give up, realize that God has our best interest at stake and he's not going to do something detrimental to us. Amen? I found a song in our hymnal, 446, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Listen to the words. Hymn 446, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, What Have I to Ask Beside? Listen. Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know that whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. To my weary steps, or though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flights to realm of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Wonderful. Jesus led me all the day. Another comforter will I send to you, and he shall guide you into all truth. He shall lead you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I ask you that question. Are you being led daily, on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis? Are you conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit? Are you conscious of his voice saying, this way, not that, not now, but later? He will guide. And the more you resist his guidance, the less you will hear his voice. Do not quench the Holy Spirit's guidance. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth, the Spirit of truth, and the greatest guidance that you and I could have in this life. Proof that we are the children of God is found in verse 14. Those that are led by the Spirit of God. Men who are not led by the Spirit of God are none of His, but led by a different spirit. In John chapter 8, verse 43, you find these words as Jesus speaks them. In John chapter 8, in verse number 43, Jesus said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." But wait a minute. Jesus already made a statement that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Following the voice of the Spirit of Christ. Verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Why? Because you are following not the Spirit of God, but the spirit of Satan himself. Doesn't it amaze you? During this election season and the process that's going on, doesn't it amaze you that other people do not see the same way that you see? Huh? And you say, "My goodness, what in the world is wrong with you? How can you possibly even contemplate voting for that liberalness, that death machine that is for the death of the unborn? An 8-pound baby would be born within an hour, within minutes. And under the terminology of abortion, it's legal to kill an 8-pound, perfectly healthy individual right up until the moment of birth under their system. And yet people say, "Well, I prayed about it and I just can't stand the president we have at this very moment. I just can't stand him." It's not only about him, people. It's about the way of truth. It's about the way of life. It's about the way of God, not necessarily a human personality. I got a text this week from people out of state. They were asking me how to change the mind of some of their relatives because they were voting for this abortion party. They were voting for this same-sex marriage party. They were voting for this socialist, communistic, anti-God party. And yet they claimed to be born-again Christians. And this individual was asking me, "What do I do? How do I convince them?" You know what I said? I said, bottom line, I'm not going to argue with people that you cannot get through to. Even though they claim to be Christian, bottom line, the Holy Spirit will not lead you into a lie. And their answer was this: "Well, we've prayed about it. We prayed." They claim to be Christians like you and me. "We prayed about it and we're going to vote this way. We're going to vote for the left rather than the right because we don't like the personality of the president." Oh. So what you're doing is you're casting your vote for that liberal crowd that does not have truth as the Holy Spirit depicts truth. Because truth is the unborn child is a life within a life. It's not a glob of DNA. It's not a glob like a mud ball would be a glob that has no life. That unborn child has a heartbeat. That unborn child has blood circulating through his veins. That unborn child cries in the womb. That unborn child has personality already and is fully formed. So the bottom line is you're casting your vote for the left because you're upset with the president that we have, but you're forgetting that the left is all about killing the unborn and eventually old people that can't contribute to the society in which they live, They're all about that. They're anti-God, anti-Bible. You claim to be a Christian? Yes, we prayed about it. Well, I want to tell you something, sister. You might have prayed about it, but the answer you got did not come from the Holy Spirit of God. You might have prayed about it and you might have felt a tinge of direction when you got up off your knees. But I'm going to tell you something. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And they hear the truth of God and they follow the truth of God. They're not led by a lie or an emotion or a personality. They don't deny God in order to vote a different direction. When you cast your vote this year for the Democratic Party, you are giving them the privilege of ruling on your behalf. Do you understand? If you cast your vote in that direction, that you are giving them the proxy to kill unborn babies in your name. In your name. That's how desperate it is. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Jesus said, the reason you don't hear me and the reason you don't like me is because you're none of mine. You have no part with me. You're following your father, the devil, and he's the father of lies. See that? Our text doesn't say as many as have been baptized are led by the Spirit. Our text doesn't say as many as participate in the Lord's Supper, or as some say, communion, are led by the Spirit. Our text doesn't say as many as united with a church somewhere and have their name on a church roll are led by the Spirit. But it says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of Almighty God. In other words, if you're not being led by the Spirit of truth, you're none of His. If you're not being led by the Holy Spirit of God every day of your life, you're not God's child. That's plain and simple. That's right here in the book. Jesus said, look, in John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. Listen to the first thing he describes about him. He was a murderer. Well, what about the unborn child? How can people not understand that that is a living being inside the womb of its mother? How can they not understand that? Because they're listening to a lie, not the truth. They're not being led by the Holy Spirit of God. They're being led by the spirit of the devil. And I want to beg them to check up on their so-called salvation, because it may not be real at all. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of Almighty God. Number one in my message, where does the Spirit of God lead us? Where does He lead us? Number one, He leads us to repentance. In the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, in the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, Jesus mentioned this. He said, actually in verse 1, He said, there were some present at the season that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 5, again, he talks about a tower in Siloam falling on those. He said, you think those were bad sinners, worse than everybody else, because that physical incident happened to them? Verse 5, I tell you, no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance, I'm not telling you the gist of the parable that he gave. There's no need. He's talking about repentance. Repentance is a turning away from sin and turning towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is. Repentance. C.H. Spurgeon said it like this. When a man has his face towards Jesus, his back is necessarily turned on his sins. That faith which is not accompanied by repentance is a spurious faith. It means not legitimate. It means literally an illegitimate faith. That faith which is not accompanied by repentance is a spurious faith and not the faith of God's elect. For no man ever trusts Christ till he feels his need of a Savior, wearied with the burden of his sin. In John chapter 6 and verse 44, Jesus made the statement and said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." So if the Spirit leads us, where does he lead us? How? He leads us to repentance, first of all. Not to mumbling some prayer after somebody else. Without repentance, if you're not turned your back on your sins, if you've not genuinely repented of your awful sinful way and the wickedness of your life, if you've not been burdened by the guilt that if you died, you'd go to hell right now, but you've mumbled some kind of little acceptance prayer after somebody that said, "Hey, if you really want to go to heaven, show your genuineness by shaking my hand. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I want to go to heaven when I die. Please forgive me and help me along the way." And you did that. That doesn't mean you're saved. Doesn't mean you're a child of God. If you've never turned your back on sin, if your life has never changed, if your person has never changed, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've seen it time and time again. People make a decision that I want to go to heaven. Man, everybody wants to go to heaven. The problem is they think there are many different highways to heaven when there's only one. Jesus said, "I am that way." "Oh, I'll get there by being good and kind." No. "I'll get there by church membership." No. "Well, I've been baptized." Have you ever been born again? Are you going to heaven when you die? "Well, I was baptized when I was 12. That's a legal age in our denomination. I'm going to tell you something. That's hogwash. If your life has not visibly and physically and spiritually changed, and now you have no taste for sin at all, I worry about your salvation. Repentance is turning. I know I'm a drunkard. I know I'm a thief. I know I'm a liar. I know I've done wrong. And the guilt and the burden of that drives me to my knees to ask God for forgiveness. Realizing Jesus Christ came to die for sinners because sinners could not do anything for themselves. For there is none good, no, not one. We need help, and he came to help us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and in need of a Savior. But we don't just make a decision and mumble some kind of prayer unless it's heartfelt, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit of God, is to bring to us that heart-rending need that we are sinners and we need some help. And Jesus, suddenly we see the light and understand that's why Jesus came. They didn't murder him on the cross. He gave his life for me and for you. So the Spirit of God will lead us to repentance. But he also leads us to Jesus Christ. I read it a moment ago in John 16, 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you on to all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Listen. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit's job is not what the charismatics came out with the bumper stickers years ago and proclaimed, you know, that they got it, they got it, they got it. Listen, the Holy Spirit did not come to bring preeminence to himself and to bring attention to himself. The Holy Spirit is here to give guidance to the cross and to point us to Jesus Christ, making us know and realize that we are sinful and sinners, not because we killed someone, but we've been given an Adamic nature. We have a sin nature that was passed on to us. By nature, we're sinners and we need help from the very day of birth. We need help. Pointing us to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God, not by our baptism, not by our goodness, not by our church membership. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, his resurrected life. Where does the Spirit of God lead us? Repentance to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God leads us to the truth. The truth. Well, I just don't know who I'm voting for. Man, I know who I'm voting for in a heartbeat. I don't have to wonder about it because I know what the agenda is for both sides. One side is life and God, and the other side is death and evil. I don't have a problem with who to vote for. Truth. The Holy Spirit brings us to truth. He will guide you into all truth. In the book of John chapter 14, verse number 17, you find Jesus saying about this particular thing. John 14, 17, even the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. If the Holy Spirit of God is not directing your life, guiding your life, leading you step by step through this life, then you have no part with him. If you have no part with him, you're not a child of God. You've never been born again. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 15 and verse number 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. There it is. How many times does he have to say it before it becomes a reality? The Spirit of truth. If there is a Spirit of truth, there is a Spirit of lies. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Spirit of truth tells you the truth about abortions. The Spirit of truth tells you the truth about sodomy and homosexuality and lesbianism, which are not alternative lifestyles. They are wicked and defile the very nature of God within them. The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth about same-sex marriage. There is no such thing. It's an ungodly abomination. There is no animal as same-sex marriage in the eyes of God. The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth about money in your life. It should not be the God of your life. Money is a tool that is used for the goodness and glory of Almighty God in so many different areas. Money, you reap what you sow, just remember. You talk about the Spirit of truth, you talk about the philosophy of truth or the philosophy of the way things are, or a lie. You hear the philosophy of creation. Well, you know, it evolved and it started here and it evolved and it evolved and it came about. Where's the process of evolution at the present time? We all shouldn't look the same. There should be some of us that are farther advanced, you know, and some of us that are lagging behind. Don't you think? If it's evolution, oh, well, it's a slow process, preacher. Oh, yeah, I got you. Well, creation's not a slow process. It's instantaneous. Instantaneous. God spoke, and it came about. creation. Well, what about the philosophy of the beginning and the end? How did we begin and how's that? Listen, I know what the beginning was and I know what the end's going to be because it's written in the book. The Spirit of truth has already given it to me. I don't have to have some kind of philosophy of life and listen to these deep thinkers who go off on a tangent and always take you by a lie eventually the wrong direction. The philosophy of life is either a truth or a lie. I have the truth. I've already told you about politics in the philosophy of truth or a lie. Politics, it's either about truth, it's either about life or it's about death, one or the other. Bring it down. Well, what about the policy? Well, what are they going to do about immigration? And what are we going to do about feeding, housing, clothing? Forget all that. Well, what does he believe? Does he believe in God or not? Or does he believe in God or not? Or what? Forget all that. The litmus test. What do they believe about the unborn? That's a litmus test. You can gauge all other things by that. Are they for or against abortion? That's how I'm going to vote. Why? Because that's how God votes. That's what's valuable to God. That's what's true. I don't have to know about what the atomic bomb is going to do. I don't have to know if we're really going to send people to Mars or put a station on the moon. I don't have to worry about, you know, well, what's Russia doing or what's China? I don't have to worry about it. That has nothing to do with the election. The election is about right and wrong. The election is about truth or lies. Amen. And what spirit you're following. For as many as are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says that where the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. Liberty. When I look at America at present time, I see liberty coming to a rapid close in many areas. Why? Because they're not emphasizing the Spirit of Christ. They're not inviting God to lead, direct, and guide them. They're looking for the power of money. They're looking at the power of politics. They're looking at the power, the envy, the jealousy, the revenge, the conniving of how to get rid of good, how to get rid of this philosophy in order to establish our own. Now we may not even have a presidential debate because they've smartened up and realized that old Sleepy Joe can't get out of the basement. If he comes out and begins to try to debate this president, he's going to be mashed potatoes. So the Wicked Witch of the North has already stated that she would advise Joe not to debate the president because the president is so wicked and so bad that it is beneath the dignity of Uncle Joe to debate a man like that. Oh, come on. Is that the spirit of Christ or is that the spirit of Antichrist? You know, hey, 1 John chapter 4. In verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Yep, try the spirits. Try them. Where does the Spirit of God lead us? A love for souls and sinners. Jesus said that he came and he looked upon the masses, and his heart broke. His compassion was great. Because he saw people without a shepherd. He saw people without a guide that was guiding them to a spiritual understanding of real truth that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Where will the Spirit guide us? Into holiness and godliness. The Holy Spirit never leads us. Listen, the Holy Spirit never leads us to lie, never leads us to covet what someone else has. Never leads us to jealousy, the spirit of jealousy or envy. The Holy Spirit never leads us to lust after another man's wife or another wife's husband. The Holy Spirit never leads us and tells us that the best thing in our ability would be to fit in with worldly others. The exact opposite of that You find the Holy Spirit leads us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He's giving us some good advice. Don't yoke up in a business. Don't yoke up in a marriage. Don't yoke up in a relationship with someone who is not born again and a child of God who is also being led by the Holy Spirit of God. It is best for you to stay completely away from those kinds of people. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them. Leadership of the Holy Spirit, his guidance. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not, taste not, say not, look not, hear not, wear not, separate. Children of God ought to be different. The Holy Spirit will lead you in that direction. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? He guides us by his word. He guides us by his word, the written word. Notice the 118th Psalm. I want to show you something. He guides us by his word, point number two. The 118th Psalm is an amazing psalm because you're sitting in evidence of it this morning. You're sitting on pews in a building on a property that led us here by the Holy Spirit of God. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? He guides us by his word. The 118th Psalm, verse 5 through 8. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. You know, I have to tell you, I've been praying for years and was distressed, was in great turmoil, and it finally festered and came to a head, and I couldn't take it any longer. I made a trip about this time of year. Well, no, it's back in May. I made a trip to Springfield, Missouri to go to Baptist Bible College graduation where they normally had preaching and so on. The college in Oklahoma City was not there at that particular time. And the preaching over the years had begun to get a little worse and a little worse, and they'd come out with a manuscript and they would just read the typed out manuscript as opposed to preaching. And it was one of those days, and I packed up and left early. Dr. J.C. House said, hey, I'm going to be in a meeting over here. Go with me. I said, well, I've got to be gone the same length of time. I'll just try that. I drove from Springfield to Carthage, Missouri, where Dr. House was preaching. That night, his text was the 118th Psalm, verses 5 through 8. And as I sat in that audience and listened, it was like 1,000 lights just went on. It was like God said, here's the answer to your prayer. Now listen. Now listen. And I began to listen. And I saw it. I called upon the Lord and just, I already did that. That's me. Yeah, Lord, that's me. The Holy Spirit said, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. While you were singing your special this morning, God lifted my soul. You were part of that. God used you as an instrument to lift my soul. And that song that you sang hit home, gave me a blessing. Prepared me for the message. And the same way, how does the Holy Spirit lead us? He leads us by his word sometimes. Sometimes it's by a song. He leads us and gives us a message and gives us a direction. And the still small voice of God says, hey, Jared, this is for you. Hey, Kevin, this is for you. You know, you ever heard that? I've heard it 1,000 times. when I've been in preaching in different places. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Where are we right now? 16 acres. Somebody said, how in the world did y'all afford 16 acres? Well, they wasn't as expensive then as they are now. And God opened the door on every occasion. And we're sitting in a large place, in a nice building that's paid for, all because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Someone stood up at one of the business meetings that we had prior to coming out here, prior to having this property, and they said, "Preacher, I'm afraid of your leadership." That fight or flight adrenaline rush went through me immediately, but it came out right. It said, "Be calm. Be calm." And I took a breath and I said, "You know what, Brother Stan?" I said, "I'm afraid of my leadership as well. If God's not in it, we're in trouble." Amen? If God's not in it, we're in trouble. And that's the way I felt then. That's the way I feel now. But I marked in the side of my Bible, these are the verses God used to give vision to move from A Street in 1998 when I was in Carthage, Missouri, listening to J.C. House preach. In 2 Samuel, there's no way I'm going to finish this message. I'm not going to botch it and cut it to pieces in order to get you out on time. I'm just going to quit. But I want you to look at this. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, or 2 Samuel chapter 22, 2 Samuel chapter 22 in verse number 20. Actually, verse 19. "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." The Lord was my support. The Lord was my help, but the Lord was my stay. Verse 20, "He brought me forth also into a large place." Now from A Street to here, this is large. Huh? We were locked in on every side and needing to expand, needing to grow, and couldn't. We had these old buildings that were falling down. It wasn't anything but junk. It was all done with volunteer labor. People didn't know how to use a level. They didn't know how to use a square. They didn't know how to use a plumb bob. It was good enough, and it was junk. And it was falling apart. They used volunteer help to do the wiring in the attic. Oh, my goodness. You didn't know what kind of peril you were in sitting in that building unless you'd been up in the attic and seen all the wiring. And when I was in Carthage, Missouri, and God began to impress upon my mind, the time has come, the time has come. And he said, look, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. The 118th Psalm verse 5 says, an enlargement, an open space, a large place, a large area. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The 118th Psalm verse 5. You're sitting in that large place at the present time. While in Carthage, Missouri that night, I wrote it down. We'll be somewhere in the city in a large place. I did not know if it'd be in the city limits, out of the city limits. I just knew God was preparing a large place for us. And I wanted to build, I could see the vision, literally. I wanted to build limestone building. And I knew exactly what it was. I said, Lord, it'll be Southwest Baptist Church. We'll move out. And it's in the southwest geographical area of the United States, Southwest Baptist Church. And we thought about it, and I dreamed it. I ate it. God gave me these verses, and for week after week after week, I went over it, went over it, went over it in 1998. And I went back to Midland, and I shared with the people, hey, let's move out. Let's rebuild somewhere. Let's sell. And they immediately said no. Well, I killed that vision. Bunch of morons. Don't they know what God said? In 2001, as I sat in a pickup truck out in the parking lot on A Street, speaking to a sixth grade educated individual, I was so distressed and so full of anxiety. I had the plan that God wanted, but I couldn't move people. And I poured out how upset I was, and he said to me, oh, so let me get this straight. You're not happy. I said, no way, no how. He said, you're not happy because you're not doing what God told you to do. It was like a bombshell. When he said that, it was like the Holy Spirit said, did you hear what I said? Well, I heard it, but I'm not believing it. I'm the one that had the faith. I'm the one that had the vision. I'm the one that heard from God. How are you blaming? Because you're, listen to me. I said, okay. You're not exercising any faith at all. But Lord, I told them the vision and they rejected it. No faith at all. Okay, I'll show you faith. I already been around the city limits. I couldn't find any land that had a large place that I could afford. Lord, show me land. I'll show you faith. You know the rest of the story. You've heard it many times. I got in the car and I drove right out here. I told a plumber out there in the foyer the other day, a couple weeks ago, this same story. His mouth was a gap. He could not believe what I was saying. I said, what is the possibility that within 45 minutes of having prayed that prayer, Lord, you show me land, I'll show you faith. What's the possibility that within 45 minutes that would just happen by accident or just happen by chance, that as I drove out, the old man was there with the trunk lid open, wiring up a for sale sign on 16 acres of land. What's the possibility of that? He just shook his head. And I went on to tell him, I said, we made the deal. We bought the land for $8,000 an acre. Try and touch it with that now. And we didn't have a dime in the bank. I went back and told our trustees and deacons, I said, we're about to go this direction. You guys need to get on board. And we need to go to the bank and get the money, and we did. And here you are. Why? Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. They're the sons of God. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit of God? I have more, and it gets gooder before it gets over, but you'll have to wait till tonight. The point is, every child of God that's born again, without a shadow of a doubt, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and He wants to direct your life to give you life, not eternal life, you already have that, but to give you real life, He wants to direct you. But guess what? The ball's in your court. He's not going to force Himself on you. You have to willingly submit and obey, and not tell the guide, hey, I think I can lead today. I think I can do this. Okay. Been there, done that. Messed it up a few times. Guess what? Ended up right back where I started and started over again. And this time followed right behind the guide. And he'd say, you want to lead a while? Nope, not me. I'm following. God will lead us correctly. God will lead us truthfully. God will lead us all the way if we let Him. Father, thank You for the Word this morning. I trust and pray that you'd give us guidance in every area of life. Show us how to submit, how to follow, rather than thinking that we know enough to guide ourselves now. Lord, it's so good to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. So joyful, so peaceful. Help us rely upon you every day. Give us the courage, give us the wisdom. Lord, and those that are not being guided by the Holy Spirit of God, either because of the stubbornness in their own life or because you're not their Father, I pray that that would become a reality today in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.